I spoke to Steve Kerr last week. I'm under no illusions. For me, it's an absolute honour to go and play there and play, go and sign there and not play a minute. Anything more than that is a bonus. I'm not silly. I know I'm older, and they have, you know, some very good players playing. But there's going to be situations where whether DeMarcus gets in foul trouble, whether there's a big that's a little bit stronger, you know, the Nurkic's and the Stephen Adams of the world, where they need some minutes, and there's going to be games where I don't play. That's not an issue for me. And Steve kind of started the conversation with discussing my role and saying, hey, look, we're just letting you know. I said, stop right there. Like, I'm under no illusions that anything's guaranteed for me here. I appreciate the opportunity. If it's waving a towel for 20 odd games and just being a good teammate, I'm happy to do it.
Yeah, NBA Strayer. How you going? That's right, man. It is NBA Strayer. It is Thursday, March 7. I am your host, James Clements. A slightly dusty host. Oh, I'll tell you that much. Jeez, anyway. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff. And I'm here in Larry Armour Studios letting know who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, and of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA today. As we wrap up after every single day of NBA action, just while repping Strayer a little bit, mate. It's just what we do. All right, so big day in the NBA today. LeBron James made history, passing Michael Jordan for fourth on the all-time scoring list. Andrew Bogut, the Croatian-Australian Wilt Chamberlain, is back. Should have sent a fax. I'm back. I love it. We also had 10 massive games. There's a lot going on. It's pretty wild. So everything is going to be covered with the usual dumbassery of that's not a knife, old mate, no mate, spud of the night, better than Lonzo Ball. There's going to be some yeah, nah. There's going to be some unpopular opinion of the day. And of course, our back takeouts, where we're serving up a flame grill take. We've also got a new Shane Heal Shooter Shoot Shoot Your Shot Light 'Em Up Award. We check in on Kiwi Corner. We look at all the odds and pick and preview for the games tomorrow. And we're going to close out with a brand new Diary of Stephen Adams as we see how the Kiwi Colossus is going on. It's going to be good. I'll tell you. It better be. All right. It's NBA Australia episode 240. Let's go.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack!
You better! Or you better watch out for the attack of the sulky Rondo. Or just how about the attack of the King? That's right, we're going to start today's show the way we start every show here in NBA Australia with a daily whip around. Yes. Is this your king? Is this your king? Yes, it is our king, apparently. LeBron James started today 13 points away from passing Michael Jordan, the GOAT, on the all-time NBA scoring list. He did in the second quarter of today's game against the Denver Nuggets with the immortal Alex Caruso and longtime sidekick Kentavious Caldwell-Pope beside him, wearing that iconic Lakers 23 jersey. It's pretty wild. Sure, LeBron, he's now fourth all-time behind Kareem, Karl Malone, and Kobe.
Kobe!
So that's pretty neat. It's pretty awesome. Look, fourth all-time is huge. LeBron's been incredible for a very long time. This is our king. He's not the greatest of all time yet. Win a couple more titles, mate, then we can talk. But still, LeBron passing Michael Jordan is absolutely bloody massive. Good stuff. So, you know, round of applause. There we go. Yes. Clap it up. Yes. Nice one. Very, very, very nice. Oh, there we go. Wow. Yeah, that's a lot of applause. Nice one. Anyway, other news. Andrew Bogut is back. That's right. Friend of the podcast, Andrew Bogut, is back with the Golden State Warriors. It was announced officially today. He's getting paid the prorated vets minimum, so about 500k for the rest of the season.
Not bad money if you can get it, bro, just to hang out and just like cheer on the bench.
But the best part was, like, Bogey
Seems very sanguine about the entire situation, very happy about it. He's going to take the family back over there. Now he's got the two-year-old and the eight-month-old. Seems pretty stoked about it. According to Olgan's report on Fox Sports, he was texting with an anonymous Golden State player about if he was ready. All the way back in December. So who do you reckon that was? That was 100% Draymond or Iguodala, wasn't it? He's definitely not texting with Clay and not Durant. Durant's on there just like too busy on Twitter telling people how great Kevin Durant is. But anyway, Boga told reporters after the formalities were done, Steve just wanted to chat to me about my role in minutes. I pulled him up and said, I'm just happy to be with you guys. And he seems very understanding about the idea of like, yeah, if Boogie gets in foul trouble and they need to break in case of emergency, he's there. That's his job. If he's there to help culturally or whatever, he added, he's happy to do it. And yeah, that's pretty much it. And it's pretty cool. And I guess everybody was also sort of losing their minds about like, he's going to bring leadership. He makes plays from the post. His passing's incredible. His defensive like awareness is great. Like Draymond was yelling about it. KD was yelling about it. Steph was yelling about it. So it seems like it's a very good move, and everyone in Golden State is very happy for Andrew Bogut to be back. It's great. Also, it means we get some more Ethan Sherwood, Strauss, and Bogut back and forth, which should be great. Some injury news. No Kyrie on the Celtics today versus the Kings with a thigh contusion. And Luke Walton ruled out Brandon Ingram today and also said, not really sure how it happened, but anytime he tries to lift his arm above his head, he said he's getting a pain there. It's pulling. They're working on him, and hopefully we'll have him by Saturday. I mean, jeez. Doesn't sound great, does it? Well, Lakers got shit pumped today anyway, despite LeBron passing MJ. And, playoffs might be a little bit past the pale at this point. So let's wrap today's games. It was a huge, big, fun slate. 10 games today. So let's fly through it all. Miami, they shit pumped Charlotte. This is the final score is much closer than it actually was. Charlotte had like 67 points basically by like the halfway through the fourth quarter or something. It was just ridiculous. So 91-84, Miami win. Hornets, Kemba had 20.7 assists on 17 shots. Sure. Frank the Tank has been going off lately. He had 20. Big Frank Kaminsky. Cody the Bank Talazella, he had 10 and 10. Brutal night elsewhere though for the rest of the Charlotte Hornets. Parker, Sleepy Eyes Jeremy M. Tony Parker, Sleepy Eyes Jeremy Lamb, Marvy Williams, and Frenchie Batum went 9 for 38. Gross. For the Heat, though, it was Kelly Huzurlinik. Look at my stupid beard. 22 and 11 for Kelly. Didn't pull anyone's shoulder out of their socket either. Josh Richardson, 13 and 4 on 5 and 14 shooting. Whinging Hassan Whiteside, though, was amazing. 18 points, 15 rebounds, and 4 blocks against Charlotte's bevy of white guy centers. D-Wade continue. He's like, when the cameras aren't rolling, I'm just going to kind of suck. 8.6 assists, 4 rebounds, 4 of 15 shooting. Charlotte, they dropped to 29 and 35. This is actually a pretty big game, like in terms of the seeding and stuff, because it's the old double win. Because with that win, Miami jump up into 8th. They're 30 and 34. And they knocked the Hornets down, basically at what they would have been. They're 29 and 35. And they're all the way down in 10th. So it's a big win for Miami. Good job. Speaking of big wins, Detroit. They beat the Minnesota T-Wolves 131-114 at home. Very handily, 131-114. That's a smashing. Big Karl Anthony Towns had 24 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 blocks, and fouled out. It was wild. Al Jefe Teague, he had 15 and 8, continuing his last little run too. Maple Jordan? Air Wigo, he had 18 points. Taj and Tolliver had 10 each. D-Rose had a bit of a quiet one in 19 minutes, 4 of 9 for 8 points. The Pistons shot 54% in this game, even with Blake Griffin sucking and stinking up the joint. 9 points went Blake, 4 of 13, 0 of 4 from 3, but was still a plus 8 because he had 7 assists, 6 rebounds, and 2 steals. It was awesome. But it was big Andre Drummond, 11 of 18 from the field for 31 points, 15 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 blocks. Unreal. The Duckman, Luke Kennard, he had 21 points, 3 of 7 from 3. And Ish Smith, 19, 5 and 5. He was a plus 28. While Big Schlong Thon had one of his more impressive Detroit games. We'll talk about that in the Australian Player Watch. So Minnesota, they dropped to 30 and 35. They're in 10th in the West. And Detroit have won 10 of their last 12 and are currently in 6th. Just because they've played less games than the Nets. So they're 0.001 winning percentage ahead of them in the standings. So they're basically 6-7 in the East. So good job, Detroit, though. 10 of their last 12 is fucking wild. Speaking of not winning, the Dallas Mavericks. That's how they go. They lost to Washington, 132-123. And all of a sudden, Washington is sort of making a tiny little bit of push. They won two straight. The Mavs, Luka Doncic, had himself a game. 31-11-7. God damn, he's good. We'll talk about him later. Dwight Powell had 26-10. Hardaway, the lesser, had 17 points. And Justin Jackson. That's right, Justin Jackson, the forgotten part of the Harrison Barnes trade, finally actually got out there for the Mavs and had a really good game. 18 points, 5 rebounds. Unfortunately, the Mavs just still can't play Rowdy Brockoff. That's another DMPCD. God damn it. For the Wiz, Brad Beal had 30 points and 8 assists. He was really good. Absolutely smashed it. Thomas Satoransky, 14 points, 11 assists. The veteran presence of Trevor Ariza at 22 points. El Jefe Green had 16 points, 12 and 8 for fighting Bobby Portis, fighting around the world. And Jabari Parker there came off the bench with 20 and 9, went 10 of 11 from the field. The one miss was a three-pointer, so he hit all 10 of his two-point shots. Unbelievable, on you, Jabari. So Washington and Dallas are now tied, actually, randomly enough. They have the exact same record, 27 and 37. Unfortunately, Dallas have lost 8 of their last 10. And the Wiz are on a little bit of an uptick. They've won 5 of their last 10. So, nice one. The Spurs eked one out against the Atlanta Hawks. That's right. You heard that here first. 111-104 at Atlanta. Taurine, the Red Bull Prince, got tossed because Scott Foster's a dick. The Hawks were in this, like, pretty much all the way. And San Antonio just eked it out at the end. John Collins, that's a title cocktail. He had 18-10, bouncing all over the fucking place like a gummy bear. Trae Young had a bit of a stinker, 22 points. That's good on 24 shots. That's bad. 1 of 7 from 3, 4 assists. Not great. Baze Gaze had 12 points on 11 shots. And Vince Carter, though, just out there crushing it. 10 points today for Vince. On ya. For the Spurs, LaMarcus Aldridge was the main contributor. 32 points, 9 rebounds. DeRozan there. 14 points and 7 assists. And Derek White Jr. fucking crammed on everybody. He had 18 points, 6 rebounds, and 9 assists. He damn near fucking killed the Ukrainian stepladder, Alex Len. And he had 6 blocks. 6 blocks. He's a fucking point guard. Derek White Jr., you star. Love it. It's pretty fucking great. He blocked 5 different players. Derek White Jr., what a gun. 12s everywhere else. Rudy Gay, Patty, and Davis Bertans all got 12 too. So Atlanta, they dropped to 22-44. San Antonio at 37-29. And basically all tied up with, at least in the win column, with the Jazz and the Clips. But that 6-7-8 sort of run in the West is a little bit tight. But they're all tied up basically with the Clippers, 7-8. So good job, San Antonio. Cleveland, that's right, Stephen A. Smith. Cleveland went into Brooklyn and lost 113-107. But this was a wild game. Cavs were like down pretty substantially. Yeah, like 15 or whatever, came up to be like up 7, I think it was, in the third, took the lead again after they gave it up in the fourth. This is wild back and forth. And then Richard Jefferson commentating put on a chain and the Nets went on a 14-0 run to sort of just put it out of reach of Cleveland. Who was that, Stephen A. Smith? Was it Cleveland?
Cleveland!
Yeah, that's what I thought. Then the Cavs kind of got after him again in like the last 3 minutes and smashed it to make it close again. Then Kevin Love in the last minute elbowed D'Angelo in the head. And the resulting flagrant sort of gave Brooklyn just enough breathing room. But it was a weird game, man. But speaking of Kevin Love, he's back, man. 24 points, 16 rebounds, 4 assists. Beautiful stuff. Pretty good. David Nwaba, he had 22 points, 9-13 shooting. Larry Nance Jr. had 17-10. Mini JR, Jordan Clarkson, he had 14-7. The Sex Man, Colin Sexton, had 12 points, 2 on 4 of 13 shooting. Classic Sex Man. And for the Nets, Spencer Dinwiddie, he had 28 points and 5 assists. That is the 11th time this season off the bench he scored over 25 points. That is the franchise record for the Nets. That's unreal. D'Angelo Russell, D'Angelo! Backed him up ably, 25 points, even though he's a starter. 25 points, 5 assists and 4 rebounds. Go the Fro, Jared Allen, he had 15 and 11. Sweet baby carrots! Came up the bench in 14-2. Nets get a nice win. The Cavs are now 16-49. Brooklyn 34-33. And as mentioned, in that 6-7 spot with Detroit at the moment in the East. Philly lost an absolute fucking cracker against the Chicago Bulls, which is absolutely nuts. Just a wild finish. I mean, Philly should have won this, and they didn't. 4 seconds left. They fuck up covering Zachy Cakes Levine. They're ahead thanks to a Jimmy Butler drive and foul. And you're like, oh, that's good. And then 4 seconds left. Chicago inbound the ball. Levine inbounds to Robin Lopez, then waltzes to the bucket in a handoff off the inbounds. Puts the Bulls up one. The Sixers then inbound, try to top it, like tip it in basically with what, 0.5 seconds left? No dice, but it turns out, wait, everyone's out of the fucking building. And the ref's like, oh, I feel like that clock went a bit early, bro. What do you reckon? So they check it, turns out it did. So they bring everybody back. Poor fucking Otto, I like to get blood to Porter, is off having a fucking drug test. So he can't get back on the court for the rerun of the 0.5 seconds left play. Jimmy Butler reties his do-rag. And they're running it all. It's like, oh, how good is this? Simo inbounds the ball to Jimmy Butler. And Jimmy Butler fumbles it. Game over. Finally. Chicago win 108-107. Absolutely wild scenes. Philly shit the bed. Absolutely shocking. We'll talk about this a little bit later, but Zach LaVine was unreal. For Philly, Simo had 18-11-7 with 4 steals, 5 turnovers. He was very good. Pretty bad turnover late, though, where he just lost the balls out on a fast break. Tough one. Jimmy Butts had 22 points on 18 shots. Tobias, the never-nude Harris, had 13 points on 13 shots. JJ Redick had 15, 11 for Tyler Ennis off the bench. Jonah Bolden played a really fucking good game, too. He was everywhere defensively for, like, the stretches that he was out there. His shot didn't quite, you know, drop much. He was 2 of 6. But he had 5 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. And classic anti-Australian bias, had 5 fouls. For the Bulls, they somehow shot 6 of 23 from 3 and 1. That is nuts. Zach LaVine had 39 points, 14 of 26 from the field, 2 of 5 from 3. He was unstoppable. Hey, do you reckon, like, the Wolves regret trading Zach LaVine instead of Andrew Wiggins? Fucking hell. Robin Lopez is unstoppable all of a sudden. 19 points, 9 rebounds. Otto, I like to get blotto when he wasn't peeing in a cup. Had 15 and 9. Lowry, that's a girl's name. Markkanen had 11 and 8 too. And Archie DeCono, love it. He had an amazing save that scored a pretty crucial 2-point bucket on a oop back up to Levine that, you know, kind of kept the Bulls in it. And turns out it was pretty crucial because they won. Yeah, anyway. So Philly, they're in fourth in the East. They're 41 and 24. Chicago move up to 19 and 47. But they're still okay. They've still got the fourth worst record. So what are you going to do? Utah had a nice get right gain and cruised to a pretty handy win over the Pelicans. 114-104. For the Pals, Anthony Davis played his usual 21 minutes, 16 points, 5 rebounds, 3 steals, 2 blocks, minus 18. Nice one. Julius Randle at 23 and 6. Drew Holiday had a rough night, 16 points on 8 of 17 shooting, 0 of 4 from 3 for him, 3 assists and 3 turnovers. Kenrick Williams is good. He had 12. Frank Jackson had 13. For the Jazz, Faves was unreal, 25 and 5. Rudy Gobert, the Staffel Tower, had 22 points, 13 rebounds and 4 blocks. He was pretty bloody good. Donovan fucking Mitchell at 22 points, 1 assist. Classic Donovan Mitchell. It's because Jingling Joe Ingles is apparently now their best point guard on the Jazz. Even though Ricky Tiki Tata, Ricky Rubio had 9 points, 10 assists, 2 steals. Jingles had 10 points, 8 rebounds, and 10 assists. Almost his first career triple-double. Would have been incredible. Anyway, there you go. Good win for the Jazz. They're 37 and 27 and currently in 6th in the West. And New Orleans are now 30 and 37 and below even the Lakers in the West in, what's that? Jesus Christ, that's 12th. Brutal. In the Giant Loser Bowl today, the New York City Knickerbockers of New York City played in Phoenix. The two worst teams in the NBA went head-to-head. It was the battle of the DeAndres as well. You had DeAndre Ayton on one side and DeAndre Jordan on the other. Phoenix win at 107-96, rather. Knicks, everyone scored 15. Vonleh, Dennis Smith Jr., Damian Dotson. DeAndre Jordan stepped up against the other DeAndre. It's the old Spider-Man pointing meme. 17 and 14 for him. Kevo Knox had a quiet one, 7 points. Mitch Robinson, 8 points, 8 rebounds, 4 blocks. Gun. The Suns, Devo Booker was massive, 41. We'll talk about him later. Kelly Oubre Jr. had 18 points. That's Tyler Johnson, not TJ Warren. He had 14 points and 6 assists. And DeAndre Ayton going up against the other DeAndre got soundly beaten. 10 points, 6 rebounds for the number one pick. The Knicks stay 13-52, the worst in the NBA. Phoenix, 15-51. Still get the same lottery odds though, so whatever. Two more to go. Boston eked a win out against Sacramento in Sacramento on a back-to-back beating the Warriors yesterday, eked one out against Sacramento, 111-109. Crazy game. No Kyrie. You wouldn't say no hassles, even though they're now 10-2 without him. But damn, man. Harrison Barnes missed the rim on his game-winner attempt, which is fucking funny as, and classic Harrison Barnes. But Buddy Hield made some shots down the stretch. Gordo fucking Hayward, though, came away with a big win. The fall-away jumper with 2 seconds left to win it just stayed up in the air, just an extra, you know, bee's dick of a second, and gave it just enough oomph, gave him enough room, and the ball went in. Boston win. For the Kings, Harrison Barnes still had 24 points. So, you won't begrudge him taking that game winner. He was 8 of 14. He had a good game. Buddy Steph Curry Hield had 23 points, 8 of 19 for him, 8 rebounds. Willie Cauley, Big Stein style, he had 19 points, 7 rebounds, and a muffed dunk, muffed alley-oop where he just didn't catch the ball. Nearly took his arm off. De'Aaron Fox had 16 points and 7 assists. Bogdan Bogdanovic had 14. He was 4 of 6 from 3, fouled out on a bullshit call late. And Harry Giles was impressive, weirdly. Even though he scored like 6, you're just like, this dude is like pretty fucking good. He's like blocking stuff, scoring at will, getting up there. Crazy athletic. Anyway, for the Celtics, Jason Tatum, the rich man's Harrison Barnes. 24 points, 8 of 17 shooting. Pretty similar stat lines, but he had some great, great stretches of scoring. Too much mid-range still for my fucking liking, but man, Tatum hit some big shots, big ball shots as well. Just made you know, it was reminiscent of the playoffs last year where he's like, you know what? I'm probably the best player out here. So how about fuck all y'all? So that was good. On your Tatum. Al Horford, though, was the fulcrum for the Celtics. 21 points, 11 rebounds, and 7 assists. He was great. Mook Morris, flask dad. He had 19-5-4. And Terry Rozier had 16-6. While Gordon Hayward with that goddamn game winner. 12 points off the bench with 5 assists. And just, you know, after his 30-point explosion yesterday, needed that. Jaylen Brown had 10. Nice one. Sacramento at 32-32 in ninth in the West. And they are 4 games back out of the playoffs. It's a tough stretch now. And Boston moved to 40-26. Clearly in fifth and fighting to get up to, you know, that 3-4 spot between Indy and Philly. And finally, as mentioned, Denver shit pumped the Lakers 115-99 in Los Angeles. But LeBron James went past Michael Jordan for 4th. All-time in the NBA scoring. Weird game. Lakers got this all the way back up to 2. Then Denver finished with a 26-12 run to finish the Lakers off. Lakers missed 11 free throws. Rondo was like sitting there staring into space, like sitting in like actual punter seats on the courtside bit. And the rest of the team were like, what the fuck is that asshole doing? It was pretty great. So for the Lakers, LeBron ends up with 31.7-7. Not bad. JaVale McGee has 16-6. Alex Caruso randomly has 15 points. Rondo, before he just decided to excuse himself from the rest of the team, 4 points, 11 assists. Josh Hart, 7 points. Oh, jeez. Remember when he was like a crucial part of the Anthony Davis trade? And Reggie Bullock, or Bullock, as they keep pronouncing it, 2 points, 1 of 4. Just a real letdown from the rest of the Lakers. Mo Wagner blocked his own shot by the trying to dunk the ball through the rim. That's not how you do it, Mo. 11 points and 11 shots. But yeah, Luke Walton staring into space. That's going to be a meme. Excited about that. He's definitely getting fired. And yeah, not great. They couldn't give a shit. So I get that they're without Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, and even Kuzma. But that was just a dispiriting effort, especially in a big game like that. For Denver, they were amazing. All the starters were in double figures. Will the Thrill Barton at 23 points. Joker, Nikola Jokic, hello. 12 points, 17 rebounds, 8 assists. Gary the Dartsman Harris was pinpoint bang on, 19 points, 5 assists. Paul Thrillsap had 16 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists as well. Jam and Jamal Murray was out there too, doing Jam and Jamal Murray things and looking really good. God damn, Denver. Just some good stuff. Jam and Jamal had 19. Just good stuff all around by the Nuggets, apart from Isaiah Thomas. He had 4 points. He was a minus 10. When he was out there, the Lakers got back in the game. Go figure. So there you go. Los Angeles Lakers are now 6 games down in the loss column. 17 games left. They're 30-35. Can't really see it happening. And the Nuggets are 43-21. And right there, battling with the Golden State Warriors for the number one spot in the West. Absolutely crazy. They're 1 game back. Not bad, bro. Not bad. All right. So let's get to the NBA Australia approved performance of the night.
Knife. That's a knife.
That's a knife. Oh, it could have been Andre Drummond. 31 points, 15 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks. Derek White with his 6 blocks for a point guard. But how about Zach LaVine? He outscored the Sixers 13-9 by himself in the last 6 minutes of that game. Absolutely wild. And he was unbloody real, I'll tell you that much. I love myself a bit of a Zach LaVine when he goes off and when he's efficient, because it's awesome. The problem is he's just really inconsistent. But the NBA Australia approved performance of the night probably has to go to LeBron. Oh, geez, it does. Come on, let's give it up one more time. Yes, yes, it's pretty good. Look, 4th all-time is absolutely unreal. Good on him. Great stuff. It's fucking wild, to be honest. And a couple of the other little stats where, he, you know, he did it by taking, was it 1,200 less shots, field goal attempts in that time than MJ? Stuff like that. Pretty cool. Pretty weird. But he did it, and he was awesome. So good job, LeBron. 4th all-time is absolutely crazy. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what the Lakers fans do when you overtake Kobe next year. What about old mate, no mates, though? Jesus.
Old mate, no mates.
Who's got no mates today? How about Jimmy Butler fumbling the inbounds on a game winner and then Harrison Barnes alley balling his? I mean, that's some pretty old mate, no mates, where you get back to the locker room, everyone's like, this fucking guy. But Paul Pierce trying to do an Australian accent on the pregame show on ESPN. It was so bad that it means I now have to fight Paul Pierce, one of my all-time favorite players. Paul, what the fuck was that? Jesus. I mean, come the fuck on. It's like he spent too much time in Boston, right? So he's kind of like, this is basically like what they sound like. It's like, Paul, that's not what, like, anyone from Australia has ever sounded like. I mean, are you serious?
Go start my car.
What the heck was that?
What was that?
That was Australia.
Hey, Beetle, go start. What the fuck are you talking about, Paul Pierce? Jesus Christ. We are now enemies. Just saying. All right, what about Spud of the night, though?
Spud of the night.
Josh Jackson, the other Jackson there on Phoenix, not Justin Jackson, who's on Dallas. Over 7 for Josh, not great. But also Frenchie Batum. Anthony Parker, I'm here to sleep with your wife. Marv Williams, Jesus, gross stuff from the Charlotte Hornets. In a battle for their lives for the NBA playoffs, Frenchie Batum and Marv Williams, 3 of 13 and 3 of 12 each. Absolutely wild. Tony Puck, 1 of 5. Sleepy Eye Jeremy Lamb, 2 of 8. Unbelievable. To combine to go 9 for 38 between the those four is just gross. I mean, come on, man. What are y'all doing? Anyway, there you go. Also, Jimmy Butler and Mike Scott missing the defensive assignment and doubling Robin Lopez 25 feet from the hoop on a dribble handoff on the last play of the game and leaving Zach LaVine to go to the rim unimpeded is absolute fucking spud worthy. Unbelievable. Jimmy Butler also retying his do-rag and then fumbling the fucking inbounds from Big Simo Ben Simmons when the game was over. Against Chicago, it's just hilarious. I mean, but spud of the night, I reckon it might just go to Jimmy Butler in general, because that Jimmy Butler Mike Scott screw up where somehow both of them thought that we should just make sure that someone's covering Robin Lopez. To be fair, you probably don't need to really even half cover Robin Lopez when he's 25 fucking feet from the rim in the middle of a dribble handoff, you morons. And spud of the night really is just Jimmy Butler, because he's not won against Chicago since he left Chicago. Crazy. Pantsing of the night, D'Angelo Russell, Sham Goddard, Chetty Osman. That was pretty good. Looked pretty great. And as mentioned, Derek White Jr. used the Ukrainian stepladder, Alex Len, as a stepladder and dunked all over him. It's pretty good. Pretty great. There's a lot of fun stuff on today, wasn't there? What about better than Lonzo Ball, though?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're gonna get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
We're coming for everybody, that's right. Ah, Luka Doncic in another amazing game for the Mavericks. 31 points, 11 rebounds, 7 assists, 4 steals. 11 of 26, so not entirely efficient. 2 of 8 from 3. And Dallas did lose again, but at the same time, they need to lose as much as possible, as quickly as possible, and especially against teams like Washington, who have a very similar record as them, just so Dallas have like a little bit more of a shot to jump up into the top four of the lottery, so they actually get to keep their fucking pick this year, because if they don't, it's going to be a tough one. You know, I know that they get Kristaps back next year, but it'd be so much better if they somehow dropped to like 3 or 4 in the NBA draft, from like 7 or 8 or 9, wherever they end up. And, you know, you get to pair like another young dude next to Luka and Kristaps, and then you have an absolute fucking dynasty. Nice one. All right, we'll be back in a second with Yeah Nah, right after this.
This is David Anderson. You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, we are back. Time for Yeah Nah, where we take a bunch of NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. Number one, will the Rockets end up a top 3 seed in the West? Yeah, no. Yeah, I mean, they're there now. All tied up with OKC and Portland, but their strength of schedule is a full 100 points lower than OKC and 10 points lower than the Blazers. So if they still stay healthy, I feel like they're pretty looking pretty good. Like, as long as Clint Capela, Chris Paul, and James Harden all stay healthy, I think they're rolling to that number 3 seed. They're 9-2 against the top 5 teams in the NBA this year. And yeah, when they've got the strength of schedule that it is, you got to feel pretty confident about it. Next one up. Are the Celtics actually better without Kyrie? Yeah, no. Oh, hey, whoa. Look, their ceiling's lower without Kyrie, but they might be a better team without him. They're 10-2 without Kyrie this year. Unfortunately, though, their net ratings and offensive ratings plummet without Kyrie. And you can really sort of see it in these games like against Sacramento where they eke out the win. And they're kind of like, fuck, what do we, who handled, all right, Tatum, Hayward, all right, why don't you guys please win it? And they did. Kyrie obviously just makes the decision like, oh, give it to fucking Kyrie and away we go. But 10-2 without him is pretty cool. Jaylen Brown, Tatum, they just look that much better when he's not playing. It's weird. But at the same time, as a team, they look better, they feel better. But as a team, statistically, they're not better. You know what I'm saying? It's weird. That's why it's a yeah, nah. I don't know. And finally, the big one. With LeBron passing Michael Jordan on the all-time scoring list, will LeBron ever be better than Michael Jordan? Will LeBron become the GOAT? Yeah, nah. No, and fuck you for asking. Michael Jordan got to that point total in 118 less games than LeBron James. But LeBron also like took 1,200 less field goal attempts to get there. Yeah, but he also made 1,200 more threes and attempted 3,200 more threes than Michael Jordan did, because threes are so much more of a big part of the today's NBA than it ever was during MJ's years, that it's like, all right, we can't just ever base it on this. And I'm just always going to continue to say that 6 is greater than 3. And, you know, Michael Jordan probably wouldn't have missed the playoffs even with this Lakers team. Just saying. So LeBron won't pass MJ as the GOAT. All right, what about the unpopular opinion of the day? Apart from maybe that one, fucking hell.
Now look at me, please. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me.
Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. What do you reckon? Isaiah Thomas. He doesn't get as much shit as he probably should for sucking because he's so small. You know, oh man, he has just been rough as gut. It feels like you're picking on a kid when you kind of give him shit. And you kind of don't want to do that, right? Like, well, I mean, the most of us don't. And I love him. I love Isaiah Thomas. I love Teacup Thomas. And it hurts my heart when he's shit, but you don't really hear as much criticism about him as you probably ought to. And yes, he's coming back from an injury, but he's shooting like, what is it? Oh my God, it's just 37% from the field, and yeah, not cool. But hopefully he gets better. His shot starts falling and he starts looking better and better and better. But yeah, at the moment, we should be calling him out for being pretty shitty and sort of rocking this Denver sort of thing. It was just handy that the Nuggets were very on the ball tonight against the Lakers. 18% from three he's shooting. Jesus. In the last five games. Unbelievable. Love you, Isaiah, but come on. Come on. Play better. And finally, it's Thursday at Outback. And you know what that means? Ugh. Steve the chef's made about 87 of these bloody blooming onions. And no prick back in Australia knows what the fuck they are. So we're going to foist them off on you Yanks. I guess they go great with a flame grilled take. So better eat up because there's so many bloody many of them. Only at Outback. And today's flame grilled take is LeBron James will never be as good as Michael Jordan. Not just because of the fewer titles, fewer MVPs, and lower scoring average, but because he was a whiny bitch for a lot of his career. Only at Outback. Whoa, that is a flamethrower attack. Holy shit, yeah. Anyway, yeah, make of that what you will. All right, we'll be back in a second with Australian Player Watch right after these.
Oh, kia ora, Bruce. This is Stephen Adams, eh, bro? And you're listening to NBA Stray, eh? Cheer, bro.
All right, Australian Prayer Player Watch, let's do it. Big Simo, Ben Simmons in the loss versus the Bulls, tried his hardest to win the game for the Sixers. 18 points, 11 rebounds, 7 assists, 4 steals, but as mentioned, 5 turnovers, including a pretty crucial one late. It sucked a bit, but Simo was very, very good for a lot of this game. But yeah, 18, 11, and 7, pretty good. 4 steals too. Jonah Bolden, son of Bruce, was amazing. I mentioned his shooting struggles, 2 of 6 from the field, 1 of 3 from 3. But defensively, he was a fucking menace. There was like a couple of things where he just like, he had a steal on one end, made a great pass for a bucket, and then on the very next possession, had a block and saved it from going out of bounds and like threw himself around there. So he ends up with 5 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks, and in classic anti-Strayan fashion, 5 fouls. Refs, you fucking suck. Jingling Joe Ingles against the New Orleans Pelicans, had 10 points, 8 rebounds, 10 assists. Didn't shoot great, but was busy setting up everybody else. He shot 4 of 12 from the field, 1 of 7 from 3, but nearly got a triple-double. Anyway, good stuff. Jinglin, he's averaging like 9 assists a game over his last 5 games. It's awesome. And he's shooting 19 of 48 from 3 since the All-Star break. Today was a rough one, but anyway. No Dante Exum, hopefully back on the weekend. Let's see how we go. King Dally of Maribara, first of his name, Smasher of Tins against Brooklyn today for the Cavs. Had a rough one. 1 of 6 from the field, 0 of 2 from 3 for 2 points and 3 assists. Nice. Denga Dale is still down in the G League with a Canton charge because the Cavs have a full roster. Paddy Thrills, the win over Atlanta. He had a pretty good game. 12 points, 5 of 11 from the field. Didn't shoot great from 3, but was just pretty good all around. 2 rebounds, 1 assist to go with his 12 points. As mentioned, Thon Song, Kung Fu Thon. Thon in the win over Minnesota for the Detroit Pistons. 10 points, 4 of 6 from the field, 1 of 2 from 3, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, and a plus 6. Great job, Thon Song. Aaron Bangers Baines against Sacramento, played 9 minutes. He had zeros mostly across the board, but he had 1 assist and 1 turnover. What you don't see in the counting stats is how many cement truck screens he set, which is, look, on average about 800, so on your bangers. And finally, Ryan Rowdy Brockoff got another did not play coach's decision because Rick Carlisle apparently hates Australians. The good thing is we also now get to add Andrew Bogut to our list, which is pretty good. So hopefully he'll be with Golden State as of next week. Legendary. Kiwi Corner. We always check in on Kiwi Corner on Thursday. So how's Stephen Adams' brew going? Well, last Friday in the loss to Philly, he had 11 points, 14 rebounds, an assist and a steal. In their loss to the Spurs, he had 17 points, 13 rebounds, a block, and 2 steals. In the win over Memphis, he had 13 points, 22 rebounds. Oh, 22, bro. That's pretty good, eh? 1 block and 2 steals. And then on Wednesday, in their loss to Minnesota, he had 13 points, 11 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 blocks, and a steal. And had basically, you know, a busted nose and was just running around with like blood all over his face and streaming under the tissue that he had stuffed up there. It was great. But he's averaging for the season 14.6 points, 9.8 rebounds, 1.6 assists, 0.8 blocks, and 1.6 steals. Unreal stuff. All right, and it's Thursday. You know what that means. It means it's time for Shane Heal, Shoot Your Shot, Shoot a Shoot, Light 'em Up Award. Let's do the damn thing.
He threw it down. Are you healed? Are you healed?
Praise the Lord, I'm healed.
Praise the Lord, I am healed. That's right, Shane Heal, Shoot a Shoot, Shoot Your Shot, Light 'em Up Award. Today goes to Devin Booker down there in Phoenix going up against the New York Knickerbockers of New York City. 41 points, lit them up. 14 of 23 shooting, 7-7 from the free throw line, 6 of 10 from 3. Unreal stuff. He also threw in 4 assists, 5 rebounds, 1 block, and 2 steals for the same reason to go to a Tourak Taylor, just for good measure. And he's averaging 27 points, basically, per game in his last 5 games. Devo Booker. Love it.
But do we know if he's like actually a good player? He's like fucking 21.
Just doing this on the reg. Devin Booker is good at basketball. So that is definitely a worthy Shane Heal Shoot a Shoot, Shoot Your Shot, Light 'em Up Award. 41 points. Great stuff, Devo Booker. 6 of 10 from 3 will do it. That's for sure. All right. We'll be back in a second with the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in and some game previews right after. Let's do it. These ones.
G'day. This is PDX Pete. When I'm not sipping on IPAs or throwing down voodoo donuts, I'm tuning in to NBA Straya. Fuck yeah.
This is Andrew Bogut, and you are listening to NBA Straya. All right, we are back. It's time for the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in. I'll tell you, I'm still pretty dusty. I went and saw Goldfinger and Millencolin last night. Holy crap. It was a blast from the past. It's also one of those ones where you're like, oh yeah, how old is like too old to be like anywhere near a mosh pit? And the answer is my age. Holy crap. It's like, once you realize that you're winded after like a couple of songs of just sort of being on the edge of a mosh pit, you're like, I'm just like tired. I've had a bunch of beers. I don't know if I should be jumping around. I'm gonna start sweating. It's gonna be gross. Oish. There's all these other sweaty people there. It was very funny though, because I think at one point, like what, Goldfinger had fucking Chris Chaney from The Living End on guitar and Mike Herrera from MXPX on bass. It was fucking awesome. And at one point they're like, ah, oh, all right, man, who here's got kids? And fucking like 95% of the audience like raises their hand. It's like, all right, well, you're here and they're not. So let's have fucking fun. And it was pretty great. Good stuff. So fun ass night. Millencolin were great. Goldfinger was as special as usual. So really fun stuff. Throat sore today, though. My ears are ringing. Pretty hung, but, you know, you get that on the big jobs. So I need some inspiring Patty Mills. Let's do it. Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day. Twitter check-in. Patty tweeted out, finally. It's been a couple of little while. Here he goes. He tweets out, lives and plays basketball in Australia for the summer, gets a tan while drinking great coffee, wins MVP and Defensive Player of the Year, then comes back to his old team in the States to compete for another NBA championship. Terrible year. Eyes wide open emoji. Welcome back to the NBA, big dog, at Andrew Bogut. Ah, legendary. On your Patty. He also had a very, very funny tweet about how he took a specky on Vince Carter, but we will talk about that one tomorrow. So let's just get into the game previews for tomorrow. I've only got 2 games, so this should be good.
Game previews. Game previews.
Thanks, Inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem. How was the gig?
Yeah, it was really good. I'll tell you that much. Fun as hell. So there's sweet FA on tomorrow. We've only got 2 games. We've got Indy at Milwaukee and OKC at Portland. So Indy at Milwaukee. Let's have a look at the odds. Milwaukee are 11-point favorites at home against Indy. That might be a little bit much. Indy tend to keep teams honest and play pretty tightly. So I might go with Indy plus 11. They're hard nosed. They'll slow it down. So yeah, give me plus 11. It might be just a couple too many points. If it was plus 9, I might take Milwaukee at the minus 9, but plus 11's a bit too much. And then the next one is OKC at Portland, and we have, it's like an old-timey regional rival back when the Thunder were my beloved Seattle Supersonics. Thunder, visiting the Blazers. Blazers are 3.5-point favorites at home. I might take the Blazers in this. I feel like they're just a little bit more in tune with like how good they have to be at specific points. Thunder seem to sort of go, ah, fuck it, just on the odd occasion. And Rusty might have a weird game going up against Dame and CJ. And Paul George clearly isn't right yet. So give me the Blazers -3.5. This should be a good game though. So I'll be watching that intently. And you know what? That's easy. Shit. That's it for today. We'll wrap up those two games tomorrow and we'll have a whole bunch of other ridiculousness as per usual with a big weekend preview and everything. In the meantime, make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facey, and Insta. We'll all be over the socials on the weekends. And, you know, just during the games in general. That's what we do. Chuck us a big rating and review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, however you listen to the show, Stitcher, Spotify. Just mash those 5 stars, would you? It helps out heaps. Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, House Hats. They have a brand new album coming out March 29th. It's their debut. It's unreal. They're launching it April 12 at the Old Bar in Melbourne. I will be there. I'll catch you there. Big thanks also to Fascinator, Ramshackle Army, iOS, X-Jedi, Green, and Dozers for all the tunes you hear throughout NBA Australia. Give them all a smash on Bandcamp and Facey. And remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. And that's it, man. Stick around for a brand new Diary of Stephen Adams. Oh, I can't believe I made it all the way through this without, you know, having to stop for oxygen or something. But there we go. That's it. We'll catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying...
Later, hoza!
Kira, Bruce, it's your old pill, Stephen Adams here, eh, Brew? Just popping by for my latest diary entry, eh? So here goes. Dear diary, that's me, Stephen Adams, Brew. But you knew that already, eh? Because you're my diary, eh, Brew? So you know most of my secrets, eh? So, it's been a bit of a rough week, eh? We lost a couple of close ones, Brew. I got hit in the nose and apparently started bleeding, Brew. I didn't even notice until someone was like, oh, Stephen, Brew, your face is bleeding, eh? And I was like, oh, shit, eh? I better put like a tissue in it, eh, Brew? And that stopped it a little bit. But still, anyway, maybe we should have won them, eh? A couple of those games. It was pretty sad that we lost them, but still. I think that after the last one, Brew, to Minnesota, I probably could have done more to stop little Russell's meltdown after the game in the change room, Brew. Because I walked in the locker room and he was fully chucking a spiz and he grabbed my friend Terrence and was flushing his head down the dunny, Brew. I mean, I had to laugh, Brew, because it's pretty funny as, eh? But I eventually had to stop in and stop him from drowning him, eh? So it was getting a bit serious, Brew. And little Russ was like screaming at him like, oh, fucking hit a three, would ya, Brew? What are you doing, Brew? I'm like, oh, shit, Brew, better stop him, eh? So, I mean, it sucks, Brew, because my other friend Paul, he's been out with an injury, eh? So I don't really think it's just old Terrence's fault, Brew. So anyway, I feel like it's winning hungy time, Brew, so... I'll use a couple of my mum and dad's secrets for this one and cook up a hungy in my backyard here in OKC, Brew. Then I might get on to baking and winning games Pavlova, which has worked out pretty well in the past, eh? And even maybe cook up some winning time at Lymington's, Brew. Go full Kiwi winning time, Brew. Pretty sure that's what won us the last Rugby World Cup, Brew. So, but otherwise, Brew, it's all pretty good here in OKC, Brew. I've had some Dr. Pippers, I'm wearing my jandals, I hang around the house waiting for the next game. Terrence is still alive. Paul is back now, so that's pretty good. So hopefully we get a couple more wins this week. And I'll get, you know, get all fired up on my special hungy, my special Pavlova, and my special winning Lamington's Brew. Should be pretty good. Okay, so with all that in mind, I better go get cooking, eh? So until next week, diary. Cheer, cheer. Love. Stephen Adams Brew.